Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. The message you are about to hear is brought to you by African Mission Tape Ministry of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Redemption Camp. God bless you as you listen in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I know there is someone here tonight. Someone whose joy will be full. Now, if you are the one, shout hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You are high and lifted up. There is no one like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are high. Eternal Rock of Ages, we want to bless your name. There is no one like you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the I Am that I Am. Glory be to your holy name. We thank you that the day has come at last. The day we will never forget. The day when our yokes will be broken. The day when the devil will be put to shame. The day when Jesus will be glorified. The day when our joy will be full. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Spirit of the living God, I pray tonight that you will electrify this place with your divine electricity. Tonight, Father, everything that is not divine, destroy in Jesus' name. Every sickness, every disease, every sorrow, every failure, every demon, roast them in Jesus' name. Anything in the lives of these your people that people could point to and say, where is your God? Father, destroy tonight in Jesus' name. Everyone here tonight, my Father and my God, give them a miracle to remember in Jesus' name. Tonight, like never before on this campus, Father, glorify your name. Almighty God, glorify your name. My Lord and my Savior, glorify your name. Save souls tonight. Heal tonight. Set the captives free tonight. Baptize in the Holy Spirit tonight. Perform wonders tonight. And at the end of it all, Father, let your name be glorified again. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with one or two people and say, well, I love you, but I will get my miracle before yours. And then you may be seated. God bless you. It is good to be back home. It's good to be back home. Glory be to God. In many ways than one, the University of Lagos is my home. I got born again while I was at the University of Lagos. I was ordained a pastor while I was at the University of Lagos. I had my call into the ministry while I was in the University of Lagos. I was telling one of the brothers that I have been connected with the University of Lagos since 1969. I couldn't believe it. A lot of great things had happened to me, but most of the great things that had happened in my life happened while I was here. And I give God the glory for that. So I'm really happy to be back home. I wish I could come every month. There are several kinds of sermons. And by this way, before I continue, my daddy asked me to tell you, this is a night you will not forget for the rest of your life. You will not notice it. But before we finish here tonight, certain things will happen in your life that will cause you forever to glorify God. So I rejoice with you on that. There are various kinds of sermons. We have good sermons. That's the kind of sermon you enjoy. You shout, you jump, you clap, and you go back home saying, oh, we had a good time. Then we have wonderful sermons. Sermons that, well, somehow, even while you are listening, you are being healed. And then we have great sermons. Sermons you never forget for life. So one problem with great sermons is that the first time you hear it, you may not like it. But somehow, it changes your life radically. Because I don't know when next I will be here. I have decided, even before the Lord gave me the title to speak on, that tonight we are not going to come and pat ourselves at the back. Because opportunities like these may come only once in a lifetime. So if you don't like my sermon too much tonight, make sure you buy the tape, hide it somewhere. One day you will reach for it. I am confident by the special grace of God, that this is one sermon that we will always be grateful to God for. The few sermons that had really, really affected my lives are sermons that almost made me cry. The sermon I heard when I was born again, some 24 years ago, was not a very pleasant sermon. I can almost repeat it now, word for word. The preacher told us the story of a palm tree, tall, beautiful, with many leaves. And then this palm tree had many older brothers and sisters, not quite tall, not quite beautiful. And then birds came and began to make their nests on top of the young, tall, beautiful palm tree. And the elder ones told this young palm tree, "Hey, you are in danger. Get rid of these birds." And he said, "Oh, look at them. They are envious of me." But one by one, they took all the leaves and turned it to nests. And before you knew it, there were no leaves left. And the young, tall palm tree died. And the elders looked at him and they said, "We told him, but he didn't listen." That was the story the pastor told on July 29, 1973. And then he gave the altar call, and I gave my life to Jesus. Because as he was telling the story, I knew that in my family, I was the tallest, youngest. Well, I thought I was the most handsome. And definitely I was the most educated. And I saw that there have been some warnings from my brothers and sisters that I had been ignoring. I knew he was talking to me. I believe God will be talking to somebody here tonight. You see, you can never really affect your generation until you know the purpose why God sent you to the world. And then when you even discover the purpose, and there are many people who live and die without discovering why they came into the world. They come to the university like we've come, get degrees, get a job, they wake up, they eat, go to work, come back, eat, sleep, and continue like that until they die, without discovering why they came at all. My prayer is that before you leave here tonight, you will know why you came. Yeah. But let's start with the Word of God before, you know, I get a bit excited because I'm coming back home after such a long time. Let's go to the Word of God. I know the light is not too good for you to read. So I read to you Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 to 7. And the title of our message, if we want to give it a title, will be Child of Destiny. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 7. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thank you, Father. The healing has started. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Every one of us, before we came into this world, God already knew us. He said, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. The Almighty God does not walk without a plan. I mean, all you have to do is take a look at the stars, take a look at the flowers, take a look at everything, and you see a pattern that will show you that the great architect behind all these things must know what is called plan. Before the world started at all, God had a plan. The beautiful thing is, in this mighty plan of the Almighty God, somewhere in the plan, you are included. Or at least somebody here tonight is included. Somewhere in this plan of the Almighty God, for everything to work according to what He has planned, there must be a certain boy or a certain girl of a particular height, of a particular weight, of a particular parentage, of a particular nation, who will do something at a particular time so that everything will work together. So God knew this. That's why long before you were born, He decided who will be your father and who will be your mother. You know, He chose that one for you. He also decided the particular hour your father and your mother will meet to produce you. In other words, you are not here by accident. Tell the fellow next to you, I'm not an accident child. You may not believe it, but my parents thought I came accidentally. My mother told me that she had already stopped thinking of having children. The daddy and mommy had agreed, no more. Because they had a boy and three girls, and they felt that's enough. But then somewhere along the line, the boy they had died. And so they said, maybe we should try once again. You never can tell, a boy may come. That's how I came. Glory be to God. They felt they had finished. But God said, no, there's one fellow still to come. And they said, we've already had three girls, one boy, that's enough. So He took away the boy so that the one He has in mind could come. You are not here by accident. And He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God sent you into this world for a purpose. Even before you were born at all, He has a purpose for your life. A particular bit of the plan of the Almighty God that no one else but you could fulfill. Of course, subject to one or two conditions that we'll discuss later on. But let me read to you Isaiah chapter 46, just in case you think this is a mathematical theory. Isaiah 46, from verse 9 to 10. God said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Say, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He created you for His pleasure. He has a purpose for your life. And the beauty of it is that purpose which He has for your life is a good one. He said in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, that you might have an expected end. In other words, I have a good purpose for your life. And because He has this good purpose for your life, you will discover that many a times you do several things wanting to go this way, that way, and God will be laughing. And when he's ready, he will intervene. And just like they say, man proposes and God disposes. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, Proverbs 19, verse 21, the Bible has this one to say along that line. It said, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I've told the story before. How I came for a Commonwealth Scholarship interview here at this University of Lagos. And before I left home, I wasn't born again then, but you know, I was born into a church going home. So we were taught about God, the way they understood him. So before I left home for the interview, I had prayed the only prayer I knew, God, if it is your will, let me get the scholarship. In other words, I prepared myself for disappointment. If I didn't get it, I can come round and say, it is not his will. So I came to the interview, and you know, in mathematics, when they ask you a question, it's either you know it or you don't. There's no question of maybe. If I ask you here now, what is 2 plus 2? The answer is 4. If I ask you, what is the square root of 2? You have to be a mathematician to know what one that one will be. So I came to the interview, and all the questions they were asking me were so simple, I was wondering, did these people know that I have a BSc in mathematics? And when they've asked all the questions and I've answered, then there was a particular man from a particular region of the country, which I won't mention, who was sleeping all the time. And so they woke him up and said, well, it's your turn. Ask your question. And he woke up and looked at me and said, where is Entebbe? I said, Entebbe, I'm not here for geography, sir. So everybody laughed. Unfortunately for me, it was the big man in the panel. So you know how the result came. But as I was stepping out of the interview room, I met my lecturer, who was my lecturer at the University of Nigeria, Nsukka, who apparently, because of the war situation in those days, had transferred to the University of Lagos. And he saw me and said, Adeboye, what are you doing here? I said, I came for the Commonwealth Scholarship. How did it go? I said, well, I'm not too sure now. He said, well, you don't need to go for anywhere to do your... What do you want to do? I said, I just want to do my master's. Sir, I know the kind of student you are. Come and do your master's with me. I will supervise. That's how I ended up at the University of Lagos. That's how I got born again while I was here. And that's why I'm standing before you today. Step by step, the Almighty God will keep on pushing you this way, little that way, towards the goal that he has set for you. Now, when he called you for a purpose, it's this purpose which he has designed for you, he will not just let you go alone and do the work without equipping you. He said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. While you were still in the womb, I sanctified thee. In other words, the equipment which you need to do what he wants you to do, he will supply. Many of us don't know why we're in the university. Some of us think we're just here to obtain a degree. That might not be exactly true. I mean, when you get to read Exodus chapter 2, from verse 1 to 10, Exodus 2, verse 1 to 10, and you see a classical example of God in action. It's the story of Moses. God formed Moses to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. And you know where he trained Moses? In the palace of Pharaoh. You are going to deal with this man later on in life. In the meantime, let me bring you into his palace
so that we learn all his ways, so when the time comes to deal with him, you will know what to do. When the Almighty God sets you forth on a journey like you are now, he provides for everything you need to become what he wants you to become. Now, when God chooses who he will use, he chooses anybody of his own pleasure. The man or woman, for example, who could affect the generation, this present generation or the generation to come, could be somebody who is completely unknown. Somebody whose parents are nobodies. I mean, when you read 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, 1 Kings 17, verse 1, we hear an Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said unto King Ahab, "As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, there be no rain nor dew all these years until according to my word." Elijah the Tishbite, you study that verse very well, you find that when God is talking about, when the Bible is telling us about the various prophets in the Bible, he will always mention the name of their father. But the father of Elijah was such a nobody that the Bible did not mention his name. They just said Elijah the Tishbite. They mentioned the name of the village he came from. His father, don't bother about his father. If he mentioned the name of his father, it's going to spoil the story. So God could choose a man from apparently a family that is unknown. And you know the story. Before Elijah finished, he brought about a national revival. This man, whose father was a nobody, called fire down from heaven at will. Some of you who had been a little close to me, you know where I come from. My village, it's only recently now they are beginning to put it on the map. And you can even still miss your way going there. My father, I've told you before, throughout his life, he never bought a bicycle, not even a spoke. Oh, I came from one of the poorest families in the whole world, not just in Nigeria. Now, I know, this is the truth of the matter, because I remember years ago, I remember the day my father bought an umbrella, we celebrated. So God can choose anyone. I know God is talking to somebody tonight. And at the same time, he could go to a home, a very wealthy home, and pick somebody there and say, "This is the fellow I'm going to use." When you read 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19, you hear the story of Elisha. He was from a very wealthy home. He chose somebody from a wealthy home to succeed the son of a nobody. Because he's God. I mean, he does as he pleases in the course of heaven. He could choose an ignorant fisherman like Peter. He cupped him so mightily that his shadow will begin to heal. Or he could take a professor like Saul of Tarsus. He cupped him so mightily that his handkerchief will be casting out demons. In other words, he could choose you. I say he could choose you. Somewhere in between, you'll be there. Either maybe your father is unknown like my father, or your father is the richest man in Lagos. If that is the case, please send some money to me so we can do the work of God. Or you may be a professor. You might even be 80 years old now. You can still say, "Don't worry, you are not dead yet." Moses began his ministry at the age of 80. And Samuel began his ministry when he didn't even know who was calling him. In other words, somewhere in between, not doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your qualification, God might be talking to you tonight. Now, there is something important that you need to note here, and that is this. Whenever God makes a plan, he finds a man and he says, "This fellow will be suitable." But as soon as he's saying this fellow will be suitable, immediately He provides himself with a substitute. Because he knows human beings, they are very dangerous. They are very unreliable. They could fail. And if human beings decide to fail, the plan of God will not fail. So God always, always, always provides himself with a substitute. The Bible is full of examples. He said to Moses, Moses, you will go and deliver these people from Egypt. You will bring them to me here in the promised land, and they will worship me here. Oh, Moses did very well. For 40 years, he did an excellent job. But at a stage, he allowed that which was inherent in him to obstruct the plan. God said, take a look. That's a promised land over there that you won't enter. But even as Moses was dying, Joshua was already waiting. Oh, Samuel versus Eli. Eli, God has said to Eli, your family will stand before me forever. But then he got to a stage where Eli began to fail God, and his children were sons of Belial. God said, no, no problem. I will always get me a priest. And brushed Eli's family aside and raised up the family of Samuel. And on and on and on like that. You know, the Bible is full of examples. And then, of course, there is that classical example that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. When God spoke to Samuel and said, for how long are you going to grieve over King Saul, seeing that I've already rejected him from being king? Fill your horn with oil. I've already provided me with another king. In other words, my brother and my sister, God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose that he wants you to fulfill. And that's why he brought you, particularly into the University of Lagos, because this is not an ordinary university, believe me honestly. I mean, this university is not only great in the production of academicians. This is the same university that produced Reverend Kumuyi and several other great men of God. This university is special. So God brought you here for a special purpose. I mean, just take a look around. You see, this university produced W. Kumuyi, W.F. Kumuyi, Reverend Olukoya, and several others. And maybe my little self, too. I came from here. So when God brought you here, it is for a purpose. You are not here by accident. Whether you are a lecturer or you are a student, you are not here by accident. As a matter of fact, before you were born, God had arranged this day that you will be here to hear what you are hearing. Now, if you fail him, he has a substitute waiting. Always. He always provides himself with a substitute. Now, the danger in failing him is too great. Just thinking of it is frightening. Take this King Saul fellow that we are talking about. Oh, he was... Well, they mentioned the name of his father because his father was not too bad. And when this young boy was taller than everybody, he was a tall, lanky man, was the tallest in the whole of Israel. When they said they were going to make him king, he said, me? How can I be king? The Bible said he went to hide himself. They have to search for him before they found him, and they said, oh, okay, now you become king. Then he became king, and he forgot the one who made him king. He became king and forgot the King of Kings. And God provided himself with a substitute. Now, if God just provided himself with a substitute and left King Saul alone, that would have been good enough. Or were terrible enough, maybe you will say. But you see, God never does that. Anytime somebody fails him, he still finds a use for the fellow. Every time somebody fails him, he becomes an example of what happens to those who fail him. May you never fail God. I mean, those of us who came from the village, those of us who remember those days when the farmer grew everything that he needed. The only thing the farmer bought in those days was salt. The plate we use for eating is made from a particular kind of plant we call the gourd or something. Carve it out and put the food there, and it used to be very delicious before they brought in plastic and all this thing. Once in a while, that fragile plate will break. When it does, we don't throw it away. We begin to use it to carry dust. When we sweep in the floor of the hut, we still have a use for that thing. Anyone who fails God will become an example to others. God will say, look at that fellow. Make sure you don't fall into the same mistake that he fell into. Because if you do, this is what will happen. In the case of King Saul, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13 to 14. Let me read that one to you. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I told you this is not one of those sermons where you will shout. But I'm not sure you will forget it either. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that is David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. The equipment that God gave to Saul so that he can be king, the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him when Samuel anointed him king the first time so that he began to prophesy, the moment God chose a substitute, that spirit lifted from King Saul, came on David, and because nature does not allow for a vacuum, the Almighty God said, well, there used to be a spirit living inside this fellow, which is the Spirit of God. Now that that spirit is gone, let the place not be empty. And then an evil spirit came, sent from the Lord. And for the rest of King Saul's life, he was a madman. I pray that that will never happen to you. If you succeed in the assignment God has for you, if you do what he planned for you to do, if you don't get your education and think that the education is to be used against God who gave you the education, if you fulfill your purpose on earth, the Almighty God will reward you in this world. And when it is time for you to leave this world, you will live gloriously. Oh, a classical example is found in the story of Elijah that I mentioned earlier. Elijah, the Tishbite, this unknown fellow, was created for a purpose. God raised him up at a time when the whole nation was gone after idols. Nobody wanted to mention the name of Jehovah anymore. They were all after Baal. And the Almighty God said, I need a man, a tough man, a man who would dare the devil, a man who is ready to face any persecution because of an incurable love for Jehovah. And God said, I think I know the kind of person who will do this, fellows. I'm sure that's one of the reasons why God didn't tell us the name of his father or mother. They must have been some rough and hardy kind of people. God brought this fellow out, gave him an assignment that brought a revival back to the nation of Israel. Everybody fell on their faces and said, Jehovah, he is God. When Elijah finished his assignment and it was time for him to go home, you know the story. The Almighty God sent his private chariot to go and bring him home. He did not even allow him to taste death. You find that one in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. When you do what God asks you to do, and you do it correctly, and you do it successfully, he will glorify you here on earth, and when it's time to go, you will go gloriously. And that brings us to the crucial question. Now, I'm already concluding. Those of you who know me, you know I don't preach a long sermon. I wasn't trained to. I was trained as a mathematician. And all we say in mathematics, S plus Y equals Z, QED. And we finished. If you're still expecting something longer, it is when you get to now you begin to think, what is X? What is Y? What is Z? And you find that one equation can fill a book. If you are going to succeed in the assignment, whatever that assignment is that God has given you, maybe God wants to use you to bring revival to your village. Maybe the Almighty God wants to use you to put an end to every rotten thing happening in the university system. Maybe God wants to use you to bring Nigeria back to God. Maybe God even has got a bigger plan for you. Who can tell? Somebody like you might become someone that the Almighty God will use for the whole of Africa. Who can tell? Someone like you can become somebody who will bring revival to the whole world. I don't know. He knows. I may have told this story before. The first time I found myself in a white man's land, and I sat at the table, and a white man in an hotel, and a white man was serving me. I wish there was a cameraman. Somebody will video this thing, because when I get to my village and I tell them, they won't believe me. You, the son of Adeboye, we know your father. How can I know Igbo man begin to serve you? I wish somebody would be there to take the picture. Today, by the grace of God, things have gone beyond that. And who knows Adeboye? Some of you don't even know. I've said it before, you don't even know where my village is. And you never can tell. Somebody might be here today that presidents of the whole world, before they take any decision, will still come to you and say, will you please check from the Lord for us? To succeed in whatever assignment God has for you, there are at least two major things you must do. At least two major things. Number one, you must surrender to God and do it now. Now, surrendering means I will no longer do things the way I think, but I will do it the way He says. That's the meaning of surrendering to Him. When you get home, read 1 Samuel chapter 13, from verse 7 to 14. 1 Samuel 13, verse 7 to 14. And you will see the story of this King Saul. What happened that he lost his kingdom? Samuel told him and said, I know you are going to fight a battle against the Philistines. I will come in 7 days' time to offer a sacrifice to God before you go to war. And he said, yes, sir. 7 days came, and he waited. He didn't see Samuel at the time he thought that Samuel would arrive. So he said, well, a sacrifice is a sacrifice. It doesn't matter who offers it. Get me a lamb. They gave him a lamb, and he offered a sacrifice to God. As soon as he finished, Samuel came. What have you done? Oh, well, I didn't see you in time, so I decided to offer a sacrifice to God. Samuel said, sorry. You've done foolishly. He said, from now on, your kingdom shall not stand. The first thing you must do, you must surrender to Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. I'm going to call on those of you who are still treating Jesus Christ as if he's just a friend. I know many of you love him. Otherwise, you won't be here tonight. I mean, the way you have been singing and shouting and dancing shows you love him. But to you, he's a friend. Now, he wants to be more than a friend. He wants to be your Lord. And the Lord is the one whose words you just must obey. The one who has the final say. Whatever he says, you do. You never say to the Lord, no. You never argue with him. The answer to the Lord is always, yes, Lord. And I know, in my few years of working with him, that many a times he will say some things that are not reasonable by human definition of reason. And I've discovered that this country years ago in the 70s. And in the early 80s, we've gone to Oshogbo to have it. We've gone to Ife to have it. We've gone to Ilesha to have it. We've done it in Ibadan. And now I was preparing to take this program to Benin. I finished all the plans. I just said, well, let me check from my Lord if there are things I've forgotten. Lord, is everything okay for Benin? And suddenly he spoke to me and said, no, you are not going to Benin. You are going to Ede. I said, I can't. Ede? Why Ede? I mean, if anybody, Ede is only 5 minutes from Oshogbo. Not too many miles or kilometers from Ife, and so on and so forth. If anybody in Ede wanted to hear the gospel, they should have come to those ones. He said, that's where you're going. Yes, Lord. And at that time, Ede's population was 95% Muslim. I got there because God said, go there. And the king of, yeah, the king there, who happened to be an Alhaji, came to greet us. He mounted the pulpit. There were some people who thought I was foolish to give my microphone to him. But Daddy said, let him talk. So I gave him the microphone. And suddenly he began to quote the Bible. He said, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give unto you. Ask and you shall be given. He said, I have no money to give you, but I have land. Ask for land. Thank you, sir. After he left, I asked my people, how much land shall we ask for? Somebody said, 5 acres. And somebody said, we didn't ask him. He said, ask and you shall be given 50 acres. Somebody got bolder and said, 100 acres. So finally I said, I better go back to the one who said, go to Ede. This must be the reason he asked me to go to Ede. Daddy, how many acres should I ask for? And the Lord said, ask for 500 hectares. If I didn't know his voice, I won't write. How can you write to? I mean, that's bigger than the town, he said. And that's what I wrote. And the day they delivered the letter, all his chiefs were present. He read the letter and thought we were crazy. And but one chief spoke up and said, Akabi, you are the one who said, ask, and you shall be given. I have the certificate of occupancy with me now. Glory be to God forevermore. When you surrender to him, it becomes easy for him to begin to push you a little to the right, a little to the left, a little forward, apply a little brake, so that you will land where he wants you to land, so that you'll be where he wants you to be at the time he wants you to be there, so that the purpose of God for your life could be fulfilled. Second thing you must do is that the surrender, because I know some of you will say, yes, thank God I'm already born again, so I've surrendered my life to Jesus. The surrender must be absolute. My Father in heaven does not deal with people who will obey him halfway. He will want you either to be his enemy completely or his friend completely. He said in his word, he said, I wish that you are either hot or cold. But if you are lukewarm, what will he say? What did he say I will do? And I spit you out of my mouth. Oh, there are many of us who say, listen, I'm a Christian. I'm born into a Christian home. My father is a Christian. My mother is a Christian. I go to church. The only thing is I'm not willing to go all the way and become born again. If that is your decision up to this moment, change that decision so that your purpose in life might be fulfilled. Because when God gives you a purpose in life, chooses you for that purpose, he keeps you for that purpose, when you begin to go astray, he's a very patient God. He will try very hard in love to say, no, don't go that way. This is the way I want you to go. But a time will come when his patience will run out. Particularly when you become so big, so educated, that you are no longer willing to obey him all the way. After Saul did what he did, and God said, Samuel said, your kingdom won't start. Then Samuel went to God and said, please forgive him. You know, he's a young boy. He doesn't understand. Please have mercy. God said, all right, we'll give him another opportunity. And the second opportunity came in 1 Samuel 15. You can read the whole story. God said, I remember what the Amalekites did. Now I want you to rise up. You are my weapon now. Because when the Amalekites did what they did, I promised them that one day, I, the God of vengeance, I will visit them. And maybe you don't know what the Amalekites did. The children of Israel were going to the promised land. They were just coming out of slavery. They were weak. They were tired. They had no weapons to defend themselves. And the Amalekites came from behind and attacked the old women, the children that were kept from behind. Before the children of Israel knew what was happening, they had done a lot of damage. And God said, I will revenge. One day, my people will be settled. They will be established. Then, I will come back and deal with you. So God said, King Saul, I've raised you up for this time. Now, go and deal with the Amalekites for me. I don't want to see any one of them left alive. Everything that belongs to them, wipe it out so that there be no memory. Because each time I look at them, I remember what they did to my people and it gives me pain. So wipe them out. King Saul said, yes, Lord. And then he went, killed some of the people, and left their king alive. He wanted to come home and say, can you see I captured a king? And then he saw some of the animals were weak and so on. He destroyed those ones, some that were very fat. He said, this will be good food. Samuel came and said, how are you? He said, you are welcome. Blessed be your Lord. I have done everything your God asked me to do. And the prophet said, but what about the noise I'm hearing in your backyard? That sounds like sheep and goats. The people brought them to sacrifice them to God. When you leave the university and God puts you in position and is going to put some of you in some very important positions, don't you ever think that God will look down kindly on you if you say, this little kickback, after all, out of it, I'm going to pay my tithe. What everybody is doing, the reason I took the money, you know, God said that the wealth of the heathen will come into the hands of children of God. And, you know, when I take the money, God knows himself that we need to build a cathedral here, another church there, and we need some money to do. God said, to obey is better than sacrifice. If you are not willing to obey God completely, when I give the altar call tonight, don't bother yourself Now, many of us who think that when we say those who want to give their life to Jesus should come forward or should raise their hands, etc., etc., and they do so, they think they are doing God a favor. You're not doing him a favor. He has a substitute. If you say no, he has somebody else. Before you said no, he has already prepared somebody who will say yes. Believe me honestly, if I give the altar call, which I'm going to do in about a minute or two, and you have not made up your mind that from now on, whatever he says, I will do for the rest of my life, don't bother yourself. Just sit down. If you want to go to hell, it's your choice now. The Almighty God has a great plan for your life, a beautiful plan. Part of the plan is that I should come here this evening and speak to you before it is too late. The moment you accept him as Savior, you must accept him as Lord. And he will be Lord of all, or he will not be Lord at all. When you surrender to him and you are ready to obey him all the way, all of a sudden, peace will begin to reign supreme in your heart. Peace, the peace of God. The Bible said the peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace you cannot even explain. That's one of the things that caused me to give my life to Jesus Christ when I did. Because by the time I joined the Redeemed Christian Church of God in those days, I was the only one that you could really call an educated man among them. And when I go to a church and they begin to preach like that, they will say, those of you who want to repent of your sin, come forward. And so, now look at them, these ignorant people. What do they know about sin? They don't know sociology, they don't know philosophy, what do they know? I mean, what they are calling sins are just, habits here and there. And everybody is doing it anyway. And then there was something I always saw when I look at every one of these ignorant people. They had something which I didn't have. Peace. Just take a look at their eyes and you know these people are at peace. The Almighty God is going to give you peace tonight. As long as you continue to struggle against him and he said, this is the way I want you to go. You say, no, I want to go my way. Surrender your life to me. No, but I want to enjoy the world a little more. Come to me tonight. No, wait till I'm a little older. A time may come when he will say, I have made up my mind. I will not pull you any longer. And then he will put the substitute in position. I'm sorry if you didn't enjoy the sermon. I did not come here to entertain you. I think I'm too old for that, to be an entertainer. Time is too short for entertainment. And I know only God can tell when we will ever gather like this with me being present again. Only God knows. He may say next month. It may never be again. But whatever happens, I appeal to you in the name of the Almighty God. Take a decision tonight. Surrender your life to Jesus. Make up your mind that from now on, whatever he says will be law. And I promise you, even before you wake up tomorrow, you begin to realize the purpose of God for your life. You begin to know why you came into the world at all. When the Lord called me, one of the things I said when I finally said yes, Lord, is, God, when you know that I'm going to be a preacher, why did you allow me to waste 27 years learning mathematics? And he answered and said, the reason I allowed you to go through all this, become a lecturer in the university, etc., etc., is so that when the time comes, you'll be able to say it mathematically, and they will listen to you because they will know you are not a dropout. It has a purpose for your life. May you discover that purpose tonight. Shall we bow our heads, please? I want you to take a minute to meditate on what you've just heard. You might be the person that God has been talking to right from the word go, and you know it. That, God brought me here today so he could speak to me. And as you meditate on this, those of you who have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you want to do so, young and old, students, lecturers, professors, and you want to say, all right, I don't care what anybody else may do tonight, but me, I'm surrendering to my Maker totally, completely. If there's anyone like that, you might be just one person. If you're really determined that from now on, I'm surrendering completely to my Maker, I'm willing to pray with you that God may forgive whatever you've done wrong in the past and give you a brand new start. If there's any such person in this assembly tonight, may I ask you to please quietly stand on your feet. It's your choice. If you like, you could remain seated. But if you are determined, then just stand up. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. I can see people standing all over the place. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for your life. Thank God for your life. Please stand. Don't let the devil hold you down. This is your opportunity. The Lord said that if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. But if you confess me before men, if you are not ashamed of me before men, then I can assure you I will not be ashamed of you in my Father's kingdom. So stand. I can see so many people already standing, but I know there are still some of you sitting that God has been talking to. You may never get another opportunity like this. Never. So take the opportunity now, now that God has offered it to you. God bless you. God bless you. I can see more of you standing. Can see more of you standing. God bless you. God bless you as you are standing. God bless you. Thank you very much. You're doing yourself a great favor. God bless you. I can see more standing. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, thank you, my Father, my God. I know God brought me here for some people tonight. And I can see so many of you still standing, but there are still a few still sitting down. Please stand. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Just take a stand for Jesus Christ. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. It takes someone who is courageous, someone who knows who he is, someone who is not ashamed of anyone, to stand up and say, I'm declaring for my Savior. I'm declaring for Jesus. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Any other person wants to stand, join us very quickly because we're running out of time. God bless you. And those of you who are standing, begin to talk to Jesus, please. In your own language and say, God, you see me? I'm standing up now. I'm declaring for you. Save my soul tonight. Forgive all the sins I've ever done. All the sins I've ever committed. Forgive. And give me an opportunity to start afresh. Give me an opportunity. I know I have wronged you. I know you love me in a peculiar manner. When I consider all that you had done for me in the past, I know, but for you, I should be dead by now. But for you, I shouldn't even be where I am. But in love, in patience, you have been keeping me. Oh, yes, God bless you. I can see more people standing. Yes, God bless you. I know some of you will respond before it is too late. Please, don't let this opportunity pass you by. Just call on the Almighty and say, have mercy on me. Look, Lord, you can see me. I know when they show this video on the day of judgment, God, you will see that I stood up for you. And I know you will forgive me. Because he said, if you come to me, I will nowise cast you out. Please, don't let this opportunity pass you by. It has substitute. Don't forget that one. Any other person who wants to stand, please do so now, quickly. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. This is a final call now. This is a final call. If you don't stand now, it may be too late. So please, if you just take a stand of faith, stand up. You are standing for your Savior, not for any man. Nobody's asking you to join any particular church. We are saying surrender your life to your Maker so that that purpose which He has for your life may be fulfilled. Stand up quickly if you haven't done so and begin to talk to Him and say, please save my soul, forgive my sins, give me a brand new start, write my name in the book of life, and I will glorify your name for the rest of my life. And those of us who are sure that we're already born again and we know it, please pray for these people who are standing, that the Almighty God will forgive them, that He will do for them what He has already done for you, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will begin now to rule their hearts, rule their mind, rule their homes. Please pray for them. And pray that anyone who may be sitting down, who should be standing, that the Almighty God will release that fellow and let the devil let them go so that they too can stand up for Jesus. If you are still sitting down, you know you should be standing for Jesus now. Oh, tell the devil, leave me alone. I want to give my life to my Maker and stand boldly for Jesus. Stand for your Maker. Stand for the King of Kings. Stand for the Lord of Lords. Oh, brethren, pray for these people. Oh, we have quite a crowd. We have hundreds of people standing. It's wonderful. Let's glorify God for it and say, Father, please save their souls. Have mercy on them. Wash them in your blood and make them true children of God from now on. Oh, yes, pray for them. And come against the devil that may be holding down some people and say, devil, lose them in the mighty name of Jesus. And let them stand up for Jesus. Let them stand up for salvation today. Oh, yes. Thank you, my Father, my God. Any other person, wherever you may be, if you are not absolutely sure of your salvation, if you are not sure that if you die tonight, you will go to heaven, please stand for Jesus tonight. Stand for the Almighty God. This is your opportunity. Another opportunity like this may never come again. It may never come your way again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, please remain standing. My Father, my God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the courage to say it as it is. And I want to thank you for preparing the hearts of these people. I know the truth can be bitter, but your word says we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Thank you for those who have been set free tonight. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. I thank you especially for these people who are standing. Because your word says, no man can come unto me except my Father draws him. Thank you for drawing them. And thank you that they have not refused your drawing. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Now you said, Father, that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They've come to you now, Father. Receive them in Jesus' name. Forgive their sins in Jesus' name. Everything they've done in the past that could cause you to want to set them aside, to replace them, Father, forgive tonight in Jesus' name. Your blood that cleanses from all sins, let it wipe away every trace of their sins in Jesus' name. Save their souls, Lord. Write their names in the book of life. And I pray that from today, they will be true children of God, obeying you completely for the rest of their lives in Jesus' name. I pray that in your kingdom, none of them will be found wanting in Jesus' name. Thank you, my Father, for we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, those of you who are standing, first of all, give the Lord a big hand. You, those of you who are standing. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, those of you who are near them, will you please help me shake hands with them and say, congratulations, you have taken a wonderful decision. Oh, glory be to God forevermore. Thank you very much. Please make sure that you fill all those cards. And I'm sure the brethren here will want to talk with you briefly before we go. But there are one or two things I need to do before I run away because, you know, I live in Ogun State now. And you live here in Lagos, so I still have an interstate journey to do.
There are three major things my daddy wants me to do tonight. Number one, he wants me to pray for those of you who are sick. See, I have discovered that sickness is more prevalent among academicians than among illiterates. And if you want to know why, I'll tell you. Among the illiterates, when you tell them, when the man of God prays for you or somebody lays hand on you, you will be healed, because that's what God says. They say amen. And they believe. But we academicians, we begin to reason it out. How is it going to happen? Now, when he lays hands on me, that thing which is going to cause the healing, is it electricity? Or like electricity? And if it's like electricity, which one is the positive pole? Which one is the negative pole? Is it the right hand? Or, and while you are thinking that one, God is gone. But tonight I know things will be different. Amen. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed them. I'm seriously encouraged, because when the word of God was going on, God revealed to me that your hearts were wide open. And that makes it easy for healing to flow. So I'm going to pray for you in a moment now for your healing. After that, I'm going to pray that God will give you wisdom. Because I know that is what that's what the university is supposed to be set up for. Wisdom, understanding, breakthroughs in your research. And you'll be surprised at what God will do. Yeah. I will leave the third one till when we get there. I want you to bow your heads. And talk to God, those of you who have sickness of any nature, big or small. And talk to the Almighty God and say, Father, before tomorrow morning, I want to have a testimony. Go ahead, pray. Tell him the sickness or disease. It could be anything from ordinary headache to memory lapses. You get to the examination hall and you discover you cannot remember what you have already learned. It could be physical problems, it could be mental, it could be spiritual, whatever may be the nature of the sickness. Call on the Almighty God and say, Father, this is a special night. Deal with me tonight, Father, so that by tomorrow morning at the latest, I will have a testimony. Oh, Daddy, show yourself. Holy Spirit, move in the midst of your people. I know you love these people, Father. And my heart goes out to them. Please, Lord, show them. Show them your power. My Father, my God, I want to thank you, because I know you are a faithful God. You said wherever I go, you will go with me. So I know you came with me tonight. We've seen evidence of that. We've seen so many souls saved, so many souls rescued from Satan. We've seen so many people that your purpose in their life would have been destroyed or substituted. But now, they are on course again. We are very grateful for that. But Daddy, I didn't ask for salvation alone. I asked for healings too. I want these people to receive a touch from you. So that they will know that those of us who are serving you, who are crying about you all the time, we are no fools. We know what we are doing. We know we are serving the living God. My Father and my God, your word says without signs and wonders, these people will not believe. Father, tonight, in your own supernatural way, touch these people in Jesus' name. Heal their bodies in Jesus' name. Heal their souls in Jesus' name. Heal their spirits in Jesus' name. Heal their finances in Jesus' name.
Heal their marriages in Jesus' name. Heal them academically in Jesus' name.
My Lord and my God, I want to begin to hear testimonies. Because if everybody here tonight will receive a miracle, Daddy, it won't be long before the whole universe will be turned upside down. Because they'll be telling, God did this for me. God did this for me. And then the people will say, the God that did it for you, we want to know him. Father, because of your name, heal tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, even as we're healing their bodies, everyone here lacking wisdom, give them wisdom in Jesus' name. Give them understanding in Jesus' name. You are the one who promised that if we will obey you and do whatever you say we will be head, we will never be tail. I pray for the Christian community here, Father. From today, let them be heads. In the academics, let them be heads. Oh, Father, there's no secret with you. All those who are busy doing researches now, they are searching for things that they do not even know whether it's there or not. But Daddy, you know everything. You say you declare the end from the beginning. Every one of them, Lord, who might be busy doing one academic work or the other, this particular week, give them breakthroughs, oh Lord. Give them fantastic breakthroughs, oh Lord. Father, I want it to be a thing of joy. When we begin to read in the world press that the cure for cancer has been found in the University of Lagos, that the cure for AIDS has been found in the University of Lagos, that some fantastic breakthroughs in science, fantastic breakthroughs in arts and technology have been found in the University of Lagos. Father, let it be so in Jesus' name. My Lord and my Savior, if you will glorify your name in the lives of the Christians, you will attract several people to yourself. I want this university to become entirely Christian. And Daddy, I want you to do it before the year 2000. Do it for us in Jesus' name. Almighty God, do it for us in Jesus' name. King of glory, do it for us in Jesus' name.